Yeah, I'm doing this shit for life, I'm being honest. They mad cause they see me moving faster than Sonic.
The day of the Geechee is gone, boy. And you going with it.
Two best cousins, block hugging, bitches like in danger.
My style is impetuous, my defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart, I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Allah.
Boom, 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 boom.
Quality chick, man. But the porn has fucked my head up. Cause I can't seem to focus on one broad, man. I mean, the universe keep trying to pull Jedi mind tricks on me. The universe keep trying to make me settle down with a fat white woman. Man, you should see all the heavy set white women, man, knocking on my door, ringing my phone, hitting me up on Facebook, on Tinder, on Plenty of Fish. And they range from extremely obese to just not fat, fat, but you know. See, white dudes got a standard of fatness that brothers will tolerate, you know what I'm saying? And that's the zone that the majority of these chicks is on, man. They like, they're not really obese, obese, but they big. They big girls, man. You know what I mean? By white boy standards and shit. By nigga standard, shit. Yeah, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, it's like, wow, every time I turn around, boy, energy is real, cousin. It is like, no. I don't want to be that nigga that's sitting down with a fat white woman. No, please, no. But it's so hard to say no, because they treat you so good. Oh, they treat you so good. Shit. Just had one chick, man. She brought me over a chocolate cake, man. You know, she was just rolling through the neighborhood. And, you know, because I thought she was bullshit. She was like, you know, she was asking me what kind of a... it's my favorite flavor and shit, or my favorite flavor cake. And I told her chocolate. This is like maybe 2 days ago. Lo and behold, man, you know, she called me up and be like, man, I just wanted to stop by and say hi. And I'm like, okay, because, you know, broads know. Bitch, you got to call before you come over to Xerxes' den, to the Player Palace. So, she ain't really say what she was coming over for. She just said she wanted to drop by. You know me, I don't really be in a mood, man. I like, shit, I got to be in a mood to fuck with you. I'm an old man now. I don't be trying to bang on you every 5 minutes, you know what I mean? But I'm like, you know, we have general good conversation. So shit, she came over and she was like, surprise, got you a cake. Or not got me a cake, but you know, baked you a cake. I was like, god damn. Okay. Mm-hmm. Shit. And I'm not saying I ain't never had a black woman cook for me, because, like, matter of fact, the last black chick I had over here, the Christmas chick, the chick I had over here during Christmas, she didn't specifically cook for me though. She had like a whole bunch of her, like, Christmas dinner leftovers, and she brought it over for me and shit. And no, she did cook for me, because that day that her and Tony Dreamer was over here, she had cooked me breakfast, and it was the shit. It was the bomb. It was like home fries and an omelet. God damn, she could cook. Her breakfast game was on the off the Richter, boy. But like I said, this white girl, she just so wholesome and sweet. Shit, man. I mean, she's always wanting to do shit for me, man. It's, you know, I'm not used to that shit. I'm not gonna lie, man. You know, I'm used to bitches that's always got their hands out. Gimme, 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 gimme. And I'm always like, bitch, go fuck yourself. You know what I'm saying? This is the fair exchange program. You know what I mean? Shit. Like I said, I don't do that dating shit. So, matter of fact, me and this girl, we haven't dated. We haven't done anything. Just rapped on the phone. Met a couple times. Did lunch. Shit. And she campaigning hard, man. Good God. Brought over the cake, and it was good. It was just, oh my god, it was so good. You know, just so wholesome and nice. She got like two daughters, and they're of course mixed breed, black and white. And that's gonna be a problem, you know what I'm saying? Because now, I'm not saying I'm a pedophile or nothing, but like I said, this is the problem I have with a lot of females that I meet. Because y'all know my age range is like from 18 to 30. And a lot of the females I meet have daughters who are basically grown adults. You know what I mean? Grown adults who are in my age range of the usual victims that I fuck with. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to be a problem with her because her daughters are young. Her daughters are like 7 and 10. But I'm just saying, I'm used to raising boys. I'm not used to raising females. You know what I mean? I know how to raise boys. I've been raising boys all my life. You know, been in the military, worked in the prison, did foster care. You know, I adopted boys. You know what I mean? And it's just going to feel weird raising girls, man. Shit. Whether they're young or cohabitating with a female who is my age, who has daughters, who are the age of my models. You know what I'm saying? That's gonna be weird, man. That'll be some weird ass shit, man. But yeah, I need to get me a chick on deck real quick, cause the main downside to this power tricking is the fact that you're gonna end up old and alone. That's gonna suck. I can just see me and Tony right now in the old folks home power tricking on these STNAs. On these nurses' assistants. Yeah, will that be some sad ass shit? Yes, that's gonna be some sad ass shit. You know what I mean? Because I can feel my family curse coming in. And let me let you know what the family curse consists of. Like I said, I have a lot of dementia in my family and have, like I said, genius and insanity. A lot of mental problems in my family. So whenever y'all hear me doing these podcasts, and a lot of times y'all be thinking that maybe sometime I have these stellar ideas, you might want to think twice about some of the shit I spit, because from what I'm gathering, most people think I'm fucking nuts. But anyway, like I'm saying, the main thing that's happening to me right now is I'm forgetting shit, man. I'm forgetting so much shit. And you know how you can actually, let me tell you about the myth of the gremlin. Do you know how that even started? I believe this is what I was told. I didn't read this anywhere, but I think I was watching the movie, in fact, Gremlins, where they said that folklore had it that when things would just oddly just disappear in your house, people had to make up a reason why things would just oddly disappear in your house. You know what I mean? Like your keys would end up missing, or, you know, you have a pair of socks, but for some reason one of the socks has just mysteriously just disappeared or whatever. People would say that that was gremlins taking your shit. You know what I mean? And I got gremlins taking my shit. I got gremlins taking my shit right about now. This is the problem. This is the problem I'm having. Forks. All my forks are gone. Where the fuck are my forks? Cousin, 2 years ago, I had a gang of forks. I had a ton of fucking forks. I'm down, I probably had about 50 forks. I'm down to 5. Down to 5 forks. Where are my forks? Where are they going? And I know what's happening. I know why my forks are disappearing. Because I eat out a lot. And, you know, I might get some Chinese shit up in here, or I might order a calzone or whatever. And, of course, I do the majority of my eating with forks. So I'm using the fork to eat. And what my stupid ass is doing, I know this is what I'm doing, and I call myself double-checking every goddamn time. But obviously, I'm not checking enough, because I will leave my forks in the styrofoam containers or in the pizza box or whatever, and I'll throw that shit right in the trash. That's got to be what's happening. Otherwise, there's some supernatural shit going on with my forks disappearing. And I'm pretty sure it ain't goddamn gremlins. I know I'm throwing these goddamn forks away. Which means that I'm having problems with my mind, with my brain, with my memory. My memory is not doing me any justice. I'm having more problems than ever speaking. I'm hesitating, I'm stumbling over words, and, you know, my mind just isn't as quick. Man. So, yeah, that's why I need to get me a quality female. right? I can take care of my old ass. But I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen, man. Because, man, my mind ain't right. I can't just, and it ain't just women, it's just people, period. I just can't be around a whole bunch of people at one pop, you know? So, just like my ex-wife, she wants to fuck with me and come over and kick it, or have me come over and kick it with the family and shit, man. But I cannot do long, prolonged visits with the family. Because there's 1 million kids over there, man. I cannot do it, man. I've been so used to just peace and quiet and tranquility that I go absolutely bonkers. Well, anyway, check this shit out. Before I get into that bullshit, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to get into that a little bit more in depth. You know, y'all needs to hear this. I think this will answer a lot of questions for you cats.
Mercy. Yup, yup, big Chuck, my man's rolling in town. How you do? How you do? I got the chart to make ya jump, because I'm heading eastbound, tied up the merry-go-round and around. And everybody's talking about your stuff funny, but they're still telling lies to me. I got the trees in my backyard, and it's hard for them to tell a lie to me. And who's the foot? I'm the foot, but who's stepping?
No,
you know where I'm stepping. Skirts play with it, cause I'm slick like that. I'm the greatest MC in the world. You got to give me mine, cause I'm heavy when I weigh it. Watch the way I say it.
Ego trip.
I changed my pitch up, smack my bitch up, I never did it. The flavor's being bucked, but brothers ain't getting it. Get it? Or else you're a goner. When I rolls over, you're gonna have to wanna lamp. Cause it's the Chattanooga champ. Taking a train, taking a train, taking a train, taking a train.
Now I'm something like a phenomenon. I'm something like a phenomenon. Well, I'm the hourglass cat, drug it out of jet.
For chill.
Cause I spill the phenomenon. Pack the holes in my lawn. Got girls in my song. Word is born, I'm a living phenomenon. Well, I'm a better brand, cause I'm a Superman. I run the block with my circle, cause I'm Nubian. I got the platinum rust, so don't even fuss. Cause DJ Paul, he's down with us. Now people stop taking my style, and for a joke I don't sass or frass. I put the foot up the ass. Sometimes I fast one off like a seal.
When they reminisce over you.
For real. Mace chopped the record down to the bone. And now Renee King is on my telephone. But I got the ring, ring, ha, ha, hey, hey.
Cause this type of shit happens every day.
I got the McNair connection, so my import stuff.
Word.
What word am I? Cause I'm so fly.
Yes, on and on. I'm in like never rhyme. Yeah, I got gills like Johnny, sell that 7L. We're good for ya, bigger than bigs, dig it, I dug it, ways that amazes folks. I am the is equals is, cause it's caught up when the tide taught me the ropes. No weights for the bait, man, I give you four. For a verb unheard of, man, give me one more. Alright, you got it if you're special.
With a dab of toe tapping when a lot's going on.
And ain't a damn thing happening.
The answer to the riddle is me, and here's the question, who could be
fresh?
Who could be
dope?
Who could be
nice?
Who could be
beautiful?
Who could be
word?
Who could be
me? Be the Jericho Turnpike Bandit. Best competition, try to troop my way. I say the song you never heard before. I feed the famine in the mind, so mind your manners, baby. I run a line on you, lay you on the springs, then slay you. All this in a condom, cause I be a taxpayer. Promoting of a moccasin, I skin like Danny Boone. When I swallow, hear the so give me room, just give me room. Back the hell up.
Know what I'm saying?
Or when I run the mic, there won't be no delaying. Pressure 40 dozen like an easy baker oven.
Blues got the muffin.
Eat it.
Blues got the muffin.
Eat it.
Intoxicate many with my talk without intoxicating myself low. So I got to walk slow, but
don't you get
trip.
Ego
trip.
Ego trip. Ego trip. Ego trip. Ego trip. Ego trip. Ego trip. Ego trip. Ego trip. Ego trip. Ego trip. Ego trip. Ego trip. Ego trip.
Yeah,
ego trip, ego trip, ego trip, ego trip, ego trip, ego trip, ego trip.
Yes.
Ego trip. Oh, shit. Kevin's Love, Stud Date. The 8th of May, 2015. Approximately 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to go into my antisocial behavior, how I seem to have little patience to deal with people. Shit. And this right here was a gig guy, excuse me, I'm just waking up. And a little unknown fact about me, if you didn't know, I'm fucking crazy, man. I'm goddamn crazy. I actually get a crazy check. Shit. I have what we call PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, shell shock. Hell nah. You know, due to me spending all that time in the military on the DMZ in Korea and Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and the prison, I'm fucking crazy. So I have this problem. So the psychiatrist would say I have a problem with paranoia and hypervigilance. And hypervigilance is the main thing I deal with. Hypervigilance. Hypervigilance is basically sensory fucking overload. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, you know, as far as my surroundings are concerned, I have sensory overload. That means if I go to a restaurant and I'm sitting down trying to enjoy a meal, it's hard to enjoy that meal because I can hear everyone's conversation. I can hear people chewing their food. I can hear people cutting their food, clanging their silverware on the plates. And I can hear ice rattling in people's glasses. Man, I'm trying to tell you, I hear everything, and it's like it's magnified like 10 times, and it drives me bats, man. It drives me absolutely crazy. Yep. So therein lies one of the reasons why the power trick formula and power trick game is what I choose to do, because, nigga, I just can't be doing all this shit these bitches want to do because of my hypervigilance, man. That shit drives me bats, you know? It's good and it's bad. I mean, you attain these sort of physiological or neurological changes in your brain when you're, like, subjected to all sorts of fight or flight stresses. And I've been subject to, I mean, pretty much all my life, these sort of stressors. You know what I mean? Whether it's fighting in the streets when I was a young boy, because I remember telling y'all I was raised around white folks first half of my life. Then I had to move over to the inner city, and that's when the fun began. That's when the violence kicked off. And I had an email a long time ago where a motherfucker was saying, "You sound like some nigga that's hurt, that's butt hurt, that had to motherfucking fight to keep his lunch money in school. You sound like a motherfucking, you sound like a soft ass nigga, man. I bet you used to get beat up in school." And I'm like, these soft ass niggas talking that shit. You know, this motherfucker, he was trying to tell me that I was soft because I was getting my lunch money took. And you know what? A couple times I did get my lunch money took, but it wasn't by one dude. It was by like three or four. You know what I mean? You know, in junior high, at an early age, when I was, you know, when I moved over to the nigga side of town. So I'm not necessarily sure how that makes me a punk when it takes four or five niggas to take my money. Because rest assured, there was never ever a time where one nigga took my shit. one nigga can never take my shit, man. Yeah, I was always fighting 4 or 5. I think one time, nigga, good Lord, I think I had like a gang of 10 niggas on me, man. Now, how you want to add that up, you know, as far as me being the soft one or me being the punk, you know, go ahead. Do your thing, man. Do the math. But, nigga, I mean, I rode solo just like now. I'm a non-joiner. I was a non-joiner then. And, shit, you could probably say my PTSD started way back then. Shit. I mean, just forever being in a combat situation, forever being in hostile territory, forever being behind enemy lines, so to speak. You know what I mean? Fuck, I had all sorts of drama going on back then, man. All because, you know, I got good grades. Niggas did not like me being able to read. And that's why when I come on here and I say that sort of shit, like, niggas don't like to read or niggas clown you because you read. I'm not saying that shit just to be saying it, man. I lived it, motherfucker. Shit. I lived it. I remember vividly my first encounter with a cat that wanted me to sell dope for him. Or my first encounter where motherfuckers wanted me to join their gang. And to me, it was just ridiculous. I'm thinking, damn, is this actually happening? You know? And both times, I told them, no, thank you. Appreciate the offer, but I'm good. And that laid the framework or the groundwork for me getting harassed by niggas, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I was not, you know, I wasn't going to sell out or compromise my integrity. Just to sell dope and be in your gang. And I have some sort of fucking protection, man. So as a matter of factly, you know, I just didn't bitch up, man. I didn't so-called put on no skirt just for safety and security. Because that's what that would have been if I went ahead and especially took the gang offer. You know, I knew what that shit was. Shit, if I go ahead and join these niggas under the umbrella of brotherhood or, you know, kicking it with, because I was cool with a couple of them niggas, man. And that's what, you know, that's why they asked me to join. Which was odd, like I said, because from the outset, they didn't realize what a genius I was. I didn't know that, you know, gangs were in the habit of inviting geniuses to join their ranks. But at that particular time, they didn't know me that well. You know what I mean? But of course, as time went on, and of course, after I went ahead and snubbed their offer, I became public enemy number one. They all of a sudden didn't like me. So therein lies the reason why I had to fight 800 niggas. Anyway, I'm getting off point, kind of, sort of. I'm still on point because I'm talking about the PTSD, man. That situation that I was always behind enemy lines. Always behind enemy lines. When you talk about my childhood, when you're talking about, you know, like I said, me working in the prison, when you're talking about, you know, me going to war. I've always been hypervigilant. I've had to be hypervigilant for safety concerns, you know what I mean? You know, when you're outnumbered and you're outgunned, you tend to pay extreme close attention to your surroundings. You know what I mean? Because you don't have anybody else to rely on but you. And like I said, once again, it's a blessing and a curse. Just like I said, like if I'm in a room with somebody, you know, I can pick up on vibes real quick. I don't know if I told y'all this, but, you know, when I used to go out and I used to go to the clubs and shit, I used to tell all my partners, man, you know, look at this area of the club right here. It's about to pop off. Somebody about to get their ass beat over in this area of the club right here, because I could feel the vibe and I could actually hear shit that other niggas couldn't hear. You know what I mean? Niggas used to bug out over that shit. They're like, God damn, nigga. You the amazing Randy in this bitch. You can actually, you know, feel that shit when it's about to pop. Like, man, nigga, you work in a prison? Shit. I mean, this is the kind of thing that you develop. And like I said, I mean, I used to be working in dining halls. And in a dining hall full of inmates and convicts, nigga, you know, you got about 400-500 eating at one time. Shit. And you sitting there by your lonesome. And it could pop off at any minute. You know, a riot could jump off or whatever. So, you know, you looking at everybody. You looking at everything. You listening to every conversation. You know what I mean? And, you know, when you do that for 10 fucking years, you develop a skill. You develop a talent. But that skill and that talent goes, you know, there's a price to pay for that, man. And it makes you kind of squirrely. It makes you bugged out a little bit because, I mean, who wants to have that magnified and amplified in their head? And so when I go out trying to enjoy myself on some civilian shit, it carries over into that. Even though I'm no longer working in the prison system, I still have that ability. And it's wanted and it's unwanted. I mean, I'm always thinking about situational awareness, which makes me kind of weird to bitches. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I go to a restaurant, I'm automatically looking for the seat or the booth that I can see both exits. You know what I mean? Or my back is to the wall. You know, I never have my back exposed. You know, this is just, you know, shit you learn in prison. You know? You shit you learn in the military. And so, you know, bitches are like, God damn, you know, really? We got. I'm like, shit, hey, bitch, you never know. It could pop off. It could pop off of it any minute. Like, what could pop off? Or if I go to the fucking the movies, you know, I go all the way to the back. You know what I mean? All the way to the back where my back's to the wall. Or I prefer to get the seat that's closest to the exit. Just in case something pops off. The bitch is like, damn, why we gotta sit right here next to the exit? I wanna sit in the middle. Like, no, bitch, we're not sitting in the middle. We're gonna sit next to this fucking exit, bitch. That's what we're gonna do. Or we're gonna sit way in the back with our backs to the wall, so if something does pop off, we can lay it down, we can hide. You know what I mean? Shit. At least allow us some sort of time to devise a plan and do what the fuck we gotta do to kill whoever and break the fuck out. You know, bitches, it's like, but I wanna sit in the, you know, like, no, bitch. Situational awareness. Shit. Like, this nigga's weird. Yes, bitch, I know it. So, you know, these are the things that I deal with, and my psychiatrist has tried to get me to stop doing that shit, but it's too late for me, partner. It's too late for me. The damage is done. And I kind of like having it. You know what I'm saying? Even though nothing hardly really ever happens around me. But it's like I said, it's like a spidey sense. It's kind of cool to have a spidey sense, man. You know what I mean? Shit. It's real. But anyway, like I'm saying, can't even remember why I got on this. What was the purpose of me telling the story? See, there I go. Shit's getting worse. Brain turning to jelly. Shit. You know, I think I was talking about that because it had something to do with, oh yeah, about my choice of women and why, you know, I don't really have prolonged relationships with a lot of women. Because I'm crazy. I'm fucking crazy. Oh, man. Anyway, that's the end of this show, man. Hope y'all enjoyed it. Another down-to-earth ditty, man, that I went ahead and hit y'all with. So, yeah, this is the Fat Mac, the almighty Triple XL, coming at y'all live and direct from MacCity.com. And I'm officially crazy. I practice situational awareness. I have hypervigilance and paranoia. Shit. But, you know, it is what it is. In Mac City, we take lemons and we make lemonade. Shit. Be good, people. We out this bitch.
What you say about my mama? Break yourself! No! Mac City.
What the hell you think you're doing with that little shit? Stop it! Stop it! Don't shoot that little motherfucker no more!